Well, I've been around the church for years. In fact, I literally grew up in the church and spent many, 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 many hours in church over the years. In fact, the church was probably the place that we were at the most, besides being at home or the grueling hours of school that we had to do. We spent time at church. So all my best friends and a lot of my acquaintances, the aunts and uncles, everybody I knew, they were all at church. And so I spent a lot of time at church. And in all of those years that I attended, I heard all these Bible studies and all of these stories and all the stuff about the church. And it was sort of interesting. Our family was always late to church. Anybody else? That, you know, it sort of became why I think I have such a, you know, oh, I want to be on time. But what was interesting was that we were always the last ones to leave as well. My mom and dad would get talking to my aunts and uncles or other friends that they had in church. The pastor would have long gone home. He was watching the Cavs game or whatever by that point. And it was always my mom and dad, my uncle, they'd be shutting the lights off and locking up. So we were always the last ones to leave church. So I literally been around the church for years and years and years and heard everything that you could have possibly imagined from church. We were in this thing called CYC, Christian Youth Crusaders, basically catechism in the Wesleyan church, but it was learning all the truths of the scriptures and all the theology of the church and all about John Wesley and whatnot. So I've been exposed to a lot of stuff in church. But what amazes me is even with all of that background, there are still things that I don't know about God, His Word, and His church. About 2 months ago or so, we went through a study on Wednesday nights. It was an Ecclesiastes study or a study on the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll make a little commercial here. If you are not involved in a small group, you should be. God did not design us to do life alone. He designed us to do life as a group, and He especially designed the church to be that life, to be that group, to be that family that we can belong to. So if you're not involved in a small group, Sunday morning's great. Sunday morning's wonderful, but we're here to worship. We're not. This isn't designed to make build a lot of deep friendships. So get involved in a small group. There's lots of them you can choose from. So pick one, get involved there. So enough of that commercial. So as I was involved in this small group on Wednesday night, we started going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I've mentioned this from the pulpit before, from the stage before, it was a depressing study. Happy Mother's Day! It was! We're going through this book, and King Solomon did a great job writing it, but every other sentence, it seemed like, said this phrase, you do this, you do that, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you die. Everything ended in that. Oh, you built a kingdom for yourself, and then you die. You build wealth for yourself, and then you die. I mean, the whole way through, it's just this constant reminder that you die, you die, you die. Now, I was okay with it. That made Don Humphrey come a little unhinged, by the way. Remember that, folks? If you were involved, those of you involved in that small group, he came a little, he's like, this is just depressing. You know, and I'm like, I know. But we all knew the end of the story, right? We knew that King Solomon, at the end of this book, made this statement. He said, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the duty of mankind. Oh, shoo. Okay, so that's wonderful. But the next sentence in all of those years studying this book and studying the Bible and putting all this together, in all of those years, for some reason, I never really caught or understood or thought about the very next sentence. And this is the last sentence in the book of Ecclesiastes. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Have you ever had one of those moments where the shades went up and the lights came on? Anybody have one of those aha moments? Am I the only one that has an aha moment? Y'all here, right? Okay, thank you. Okay, so some of you have those aha moments. And when I read that and we started talking about it, we started kicking that around, all of a sudden I had one of those aha moments. And all of a sudden it started coming into my thinking that this is the greatest paradox that I think has ever existed in human history. This is an unbelievable paradox. Because Solomon spends 12 chapters talking about how pointless life is. How everything we do turns to dust. How everything that we work for wears out or wears us down. You go and build wealth, and then you give it to your kids, and they just mess it up, right? Or you go and build a castle, and the castle will go through an earthquake or whatever, and it'll fall down. The same with your home. You can build this beautiful home, and a fire like that can wipe it out. You do all this stuff in life, and just the littlest thing can destroy all of that stuff. And so life, from that vantage point, seems to be very pointless. Even our relationships. You invest in a relationship, and then they go and have an affair, or they go and do something stupid. It all seems so pointless. But then in one foul swoop, and this is the great paradox, Solomon says, but it all takes on value when we understand that every pointless moment of our lives we will have to give an account for. I pictured this in my mind like a bit of magic. An artist who has painted a gloomy, dull picture and then waves their magic wand over the picture, and then all of a sudden the whole picture just comes to light and becomes bright. Sort of like what I'm hoping for to happen this afternoon outside. It's all gloomy outside, right? It's all gloomy, okay? It's all sort of, we need the rain. Well, no, we don't need the rain anymore. It's just sort of, but you ever, we enjoy a day like this, or we endure a day like this, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out at 5 o'clock and everything seems so much better, right? Yes? And that's sort of what happens here. Solomon's painting this gloom and doom picture, and then all of a sudden, in one sentence, he opens up the sky, and he shines the sun on our lives, and all of a sudden, every little thing in our life takes on value and significance. It becomes important. Why? Because every deed will come under the judgment of God. What a breathtaking paradox to go from pointless to unimaginable value. Well, over the last couple weeks, about the last month, month and a half, we've been going through our new LifeSpring playbook. And last week, we passed these all out. I have a few more copies. If you did not get one last week, I can put one in your hand here this morning. And this morning, we're going to take a look at our very last picture of the playbook. Life is not pointless, but has unbelievable value. Every moment we get to breathe and live is filled with potential and pregnant with significance. So let's look at this last page of our playbook. And here's how this picture plays out. No one escapes death. We understand what Solomon's saying there. No one escapes death. We all are going to die. I was talking to somebody this week, can't remember who it was, and they said they really don't like going over and talking to their parents because they're getting of that age, all their friends are dying, and so all they talk about is all their friends that are dead. That's sort of a bummer. But hey, look at the good side. If you're the one not in the casket, you're still going. I thought that was some good news, okay? Yeah, so I get that. When you start turning 70 and 80 and 90, if you still got your health, count that a value because, a lot of your friends may start dying. But here's the reality, and this is what this picture depicts. All of us die. Every living creature on this earth, every molecule, every living plant, every animal, every human being that is here, we all someday are going to die. It's just the way that things happen. Do you realize even Jesus Christ died? Now, the good news is he rose back to life and gives us the hope that there's something after the grave, but even Jesus died. Everything on this earth is going to someday perish. It's going to go away. And then the scriptures tell us something else here a little bit. It tells us that everything, this is what Solomon said, everything we've done will then come to judgment. We will have to give an account for how we used this life. So how did we use those 60, 70, 80, 90, the older I get, 100, 110? How did we use all those years that we lived and breathed and walked on this earth? Now, as I contemplate that, it fills my thinking with two thoughts, two huge thoughts. And here's the two thoughts, urgency and fear. It fills it with urgency and fear. And the older I get, the more urgent that it becomes. Life does not last forever. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing those 70, 80, 90, 100 years that I get to live, they're not that awful long, folks. In fact, the United States is going to outlive me. It's been around a lot longer than me. You know, trees outlive me. And so there's an urgency that started to fill my thinking. The urgency that I'm not going to be here forever. So what impact am I going to leave? What kind of impact am I going to leave to other people? I only get to enjoy so many springs. I get to only enjoy so many flowers coming up and trees coming on. By the way, we drove to Cincy yesterday. The leaves are already out. Their grass is a lot further along. Their plants are all further along. But I don't want to live there because it was 85 and muggy. So I like the leaves being a little later up here. As we came home, we hit Mansfield. The temperature went from 85 to about 65 and then just kept dropping the further north we came. But I only get so many springs to live. So honestly, it fills me with a little bit of urgency. I want my life to count. I want the moments of my life to count. I don't want to squander Christmases and birthdays and opportunities away. I want it to count for more. But honestly, it also fills me with a little bit of fear. Because everything that I have done, I have to give an account for. That's the sort of the scale thing here. I have to give an account for the life that I've lived. And I realize some of the things I've done has not been that great and are things that probably God has not been pleased with. Now, this is Mother's Day. How many of you have ever hidden something from your mom? Y'all hid some stuff from your mom? Oh my goodness, why? Because you're afraid of getting busted, right? Well, let me just share one quick story and then we'll move on. When I was probably in junior high or so, my parents had this wild idea to go on a date and leave us at home. Mistake number one. Now, we were old enough, we should have been able to manage ourselves quite well. And we actually did pretty good most of the night. And anyway, we got into the pop. How many of you remember the old bottles of pop? Not those plastic things that fill our landfills. I mean the bottles, the glass bottles of Pepsi, Coke, you know, Mountain Dew. They were all the same shape and size and whatnot. They all had that metal top on it, you know. Well, we got into the pop, and then we put on these pop toppers or pop savers, those little I think we got them at the 4-H fair, and they popped on the top of the bottle. Remember those? I mean, remember those things? Okay. We put the pop in the fridge. An hour or so later, we came back and popped open those things. And when I popped off that plastic topper, it went boom. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And so I go back to the pantry area, grabbed out a nice warm bottle of Pepsi, because I like Coke, not Pepsi, so I took one of my mom's pops. And I took the lid off, and I put that plastic popper on, and I went, and I'm like to my brothers, this is going to be so cool. You know how good. And I popped that off. I was amazed how hard that little plastic popper went flying. I was like, this is so cool. But what happened next, I was not prepared for. I ended up with a volcano of pop shooting out of that bottle. In fact, the power behind that volcano was so hard, it shot the Pepsi right out of the bottle, right up and all over the ceiling of the kitchen. Now, if it was a drywalled kitchen, not a big deal, but our ceiling was ceiling tiles like we have in the back rooms back there. It got all over those tiles, and I knew I was dead meat because my dad had just put that ceiling up about a half year earlier. And so I'm freaking out. I call my brother down and tell him, I make him swear on his life and things that I had over him too that he is not going to tell my mom. I cleaned the mess up. I tried to dab it off the ceiling. It was brown. There was no way of fixing that problem. And I'm looking at that, and God is so gracious. He gave me a very creative mind. And so as I'm sitting there thinking about this is going to hurt, I came up with the brilliant idea, white flat paint. I went downstairs, I got the hairdryer out, I dried the pop, I dabbed as much off as I could, I dried it all down, I painted it, and I was just praying, please, Lord, please let this dry before my mom gets home, because, you know, white paint, even flat, shiny until it dries. And so I got it all painted up, and I dried it, and she came home, and she, for 6 years, never knew what happened. It wasn't until I was in college and Michelle and I were actually dating. We're sitting there in the kitchen and I'm leaning back in my chair after dinner and I started laughing. I'm like, oh my, I forgot all about that ceiling. Mom, did you ever know this? She, of course, said, yeah, I knew. No, she didn't. and I painted the ceiling white. Why? Because I was scared to death. I was filled with fear over my mom and what she would do to my hiney, especially if my dad was with her, okay? And so when I think about the end of life, it fills me with urgency, but it also fills me with fear because, frankly, I know what I've done. I know the pop that I've shot on ceilings, and I know the things that I've done that displease my Heavenly Father. And that fills me with a little bit of fear that He someday is going to look at all that stuff, and I'm going to have to give an account for all of that stuff that I have done. But here is the unbelievably good news. And so while we will, yes, someday come into judgment, let's flip back just a couple books because, or a couple pages, because this is the center of everything we are about as LifeSpring Community Church. This is the perfect solution. God knew the pop that we shot on the ceiling. And God knows all the bad and all the junk that we have done. And even though we've tried all sorts of ways to solve those problems on our own, God knew there was no way for us to solve that problem. And so He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to solve the problem for us. And so rather on that day than my hiney getting warmed, if you want to put it in that whole analogy, Jesus said, okay, Mom, it was me who shot the pop. Go for it. And He took my punishment on my behalf for me. And so here's what happens. Because Jesus did that for me, God forgets and forgives and removes our sin. And He removes it from us. While Solomon reminds us that every deed will come under judgment, the good and the bad, the evil and the light, while this concept fills me with a little bit of dread and a little bit of fear, we're reminded in the New Testament, Jesus Christ came to wipe that out from us. And this brings us back to this concept. Jesus paid the price for this. And now listen to what David wrote in Psalm 103, 11 verse 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Amen? Let me try that again. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He took the penalty. He removed all that away. And that is the good news. Talk about awesome news, great news. That isn't just some okay news. That is wonderful news. He's forgiven my sin. I do not have to be filled with fear over judgment. I don't have to be fear over having to be held accountable for my sin because Jesus done paid the bill for it. And this is the news that is at the center of our church. And this is the news as to why we created the playbook to begin with. Because we want to put a tool into your hand to allow you the opportunity to talk to other people, to explain this in pictures to other people. We made them really colorful and really engaging for you because pictures just seem to engage the mind a little bit better. So we put this in a beautiful form so that you could share this good news with other people. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. We all like steering conversations. Whether you know it or not, you like to steer conversations. If you won tickets to the Cavs game at work, you're going to find a way to bring that up in most of the conversations you're in. Right? If something really good happened to you, you're going to find ways to work that into the conversation. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Some way, somehow, just start working church into your conversation. I'm not saying be awkward or weird or strange about it, but just bring it into the conversation. And here's the open door that I'm hoping you will find. I'm hoping we end up finding a lot of within our church. When somebody says, well, what church do you go to? Hey, I got a book to show you exactly what church I go to. Did y'all see how that worked? Have you ever been asked, what church do you go to? Now you got an answer. I go to this place called LifeSpring, and let me show you this little book, because this is what we're all about. Just in case you're interested in knowing what our church is about, because there's a lot of churches out there, just if you want to know, you know, we're about the Word. We're centered in the Word, God's Word. We believe that God manifests Himself, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who's taking care of the earth and watching over us, gave us salvation. We understand that there's a purpose to man, that God created mankind to walk with Him and be in fellowship with Him and to take care of the earth, basically. Not doing a good job of that, but, you know, hey, that's what God created us for. But unfortunately, sin entered the world, and you could call that selfishness, because we thought we knew better how to run our lives than God knew how to run our lives. And because of that, now we're separated from God. And unfortunately, we all know that something's not right. We know that we're separated from God. So we've tried all sorts of things. We've tried religion. We've tried going to church. We've tried being good. And if that didn't work, we made all sorts of laws too. In fact, we're still making more laws in Washington, you know, to try and bridge this gap between us and God. But God knew that wouldn't work. And so God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and He said, this is what will work. This will bridge the gap between you and where I am, and it'll bridge you to the person you want to become and the person I've designed you to be. And so the big question is, are you with me? Or are you still trying to do life on your own? Which side are you on? Well, the good news continues, because God didn't leave us alone. He left us also the church to grow. He left us the church that I'm a part of. I'm part of LifeSpring. This place right here, I'm part of LifeSpring. And the church helps me have a place to do communion, to remember Him, to be baptized, to be a part of. But most importantly, the church gives me this place that I can call family. I can call home. I can call my friends. How many of you love LifeSpring enough to say, this is my family away from my family? That's what church is about. And God gave me this great church called LifeSpring to be a part of. And hey, if you're not involved in church, we'd love to have you come check out us. But God didn't leave us just a salvation. He wants so much for us. He wants us to accomplish unbelievable things. And God calls us to grow and to learn more. But unfortunately, the more we learn, the harder it can sometimes be, because I know there's so much God wants for me. But God then comes and begins to empower me as I surrender my life to Him. God begins to use me in unbelievable ways. And someday, yeah, I'm going to give an account for my life because of what God's done in me, because of what He's allowed me to accomplish. It's not to gain heaven, but I know that He's going to look at me and say, you're okay in my book. Come on into heaven. That's what we're about as a church. Where are you? That's why we designed this thing, because we want to help you tell the story of the good news. And it doesn't matter what church you go to, what flavor or denomination that you're a part of. If it's Christian in its background, Christian in its nature, this mission is your mission. The mission of leading people to Jesus Christ so that they might become His disciples. And so I want to challenge you. Use the book. Here's a neat, cool thing. Somebody liked it and they said, I'll give you enough money to order 200 more of these things. So we have an order already in a couple weeks. We're going to get 200 more of these. These are here for you to use, for you to take. Don't let them just sit in your car and become a car mat on the floor, okay? They cost about $1.50 a piece. So use them, but we want you to use them to pass out to friends and neighbors. Use as a tool to let people know about your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't build up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but build up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust and thieves, they can't come in and steal it. Build up your treasures there. And that's what this is about. It's leading people to Jesus so they might become His disciples. So we might be building up treasures in heaven. Well, to wrap things up this morning, I want to go back to Mother's Day. I miss my mom. I struggle because my mom got hit with dementia. And so the later years of her life, she just failed really fast. Well, it was really slow. And unfortunately for me, it is very hard for me to look beyond her last years. All I see is a feeble, old, forgetful lady that didn't even know who I was. I have a hard time remembering when my mom had black hair and was mowing lawn, and my mom and dad would get on the trampoline. We had a trampoline, and their idea of getting on the trampoline was just get themselves up there and then roll around like a beached whale and like, okay, this is nice. And then they would take over the trampoline for the rest of the afternoon as they slept, you know. So I have a hard time sometimes remembering back to those memories. But one of the things that I do remember about my mom are all the pithy little sayings and the wives' tales that she would leave to us. Here's one of them. If it rains before 7, it will quit before 11. Anybody ever heard that one? Here's another one, and for years I checked this out. The first day that the snow comes and sticks, that date on the month, is the number of snowfalls you'll have that year. For years, she was dead on. If it snowed on the 15th, we had 15 snowfalls. I was like, whoa, how's that work? So she had all these little, you know, almanac-type things, and she would constantly pound those things into my mind, and literally, it made me into the person that I am today. And so who she was is right here. And one of the things that my mom taught all of us kids at a very early age and pounded into our heads, sometimes it was painfully pounded into our hinies, but one of the things she taught us is you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your actions. Folks, we live in an era where people no longer want to be responsible for their actions. We blame everything on somebody else, especially if it was a negative consequence. I have these problems because my parents were screwed up. I struggle with this or that because of what others did to me as a teen. Teachers should be good to me and nice to me because they know that the material is hard. It's not my fault that I got a D on that test. I didn't cause the accident. They just put their car in the wrong place. We live in a society that no longer wants to be responsible. And I think one of the greatest gifts that my mother gave to me is she taught me to be responsible. And you know where she got that truth? Out of God's Word. And maybe she was reading King Solomon one day, and maybe she ran across that last verse that Solomon wrote in there. And maybe that became one of her life mottos, is that we need to be responsible. And I need to be responsible for the life that I live. For every moment, for every breath, for every sunset that I let pass by without stopping and taking in the beauty and thanking God for it, I'm responsible. For every flower that blooms and I see its beauty pop up, even though, sorry, Jan Wagner, the deer eat them all off out here, the beautiful tulips, but every flower that blooms, I'm responsible for enjoying that moment. I'm responsible for the life that I live. I'm responsible for the words that I say, for the actions that lead and guide my life. I'm responsible. And I've come to the conclusion I want to invest my life in treasures that go beyond the grave. I want to invest my life in something bigger. And so Solomon was right. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. But it doesn't end there. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Amen.